Now then, the surprise comes at this point when you would expect that he would say, now come and have these, have this heavenly feast. But when they land on the shore, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And this is the crux of the message at this point. Before you can sup of the heavenly bread and fish on the fires of divine love, you must bring something of yourself. Now, this is the wedding of instruction in the letter with inspiration in the living divine word. So Peter and the disciples are asked to bring the fish that they have caught. What truth do you know? What are your beliefs? What is your understanding? Bring that, yes. But don't stop there. We have all had an instruction in truth. And now with that instruction must be wedded inspiration. Without it, you'll always be offshore. Inspiration now is when, having through love of God supremely, been willing to yield your complete effort not to better your humanhood, but to seek only the kingdom of God within yourself. In trust that the kingdom of God within you will yield its fruit, and that it, being all power, will completely cover every so-called human need. As you're willing to do that, launching out into the deep, beyond the senses of human faith, then love and faith lead you to the shore, and there you find that Christ has drawn you to the heavenly feast, which is the new self. The fish on the coals of the fire is divine love revealing your new self. And the bread is the substance of that self. And there are many meanings in the fish and the bread, because, you see, he doesn't have fishes and loaves, he has one fish, one cake. One is sufficient to mankind. One self. And like a fish, that one self increases into many appearing. That bread is the new bread, the new substance you live by. You live by grace. In the new self, you are the fish who has been plucked out of the sea of world thought, and you are now the incorporeal self. And you live by the bread which is cooked on the fire of divine love by the Master within you. And that substance increases and increases and increases your living experience. And now, as you draw the truth you know to this fire, living inner inspiration opens you to truth you couldn't know any other way. It isn't enough to continue as a memory student or as an intellect. You must have living revelation. And you can only get it from divine love, Christ in you. This is a total inner turning to Christ in you, with total confidence, total trust that there is a self of you. This is the land where the self of you is where you live. This is the transformed self, the transformed consciousness. They're not seeing physical bread anymore or physical fish. They're seeing the one divine self within themselves as themselves. They are the fish and they are the bread. I in the midst of you am the fish, I in the midst of you am the bread, and I am the sacred fire of your own divinity. This invisible journey through the sea to the shore to the land is the transformed consciousness accepting divinity as self, divinity which multiplies as fishes do. One self fulfills all needs. The acceptance of that one self now is the level of consciousness which Peter is being led to and the other six disciples with him. They are being awakened to who they are. They are going through a temporary experience of the real self. But it is being presented to you and to me because it is our way shower. All that is happening out there, visibly in the written word, is a living experience within you when you are willing to cast out beyond the five sense world. That means if you continue believing certain things about yourself that are not so, you're not launching out into the deep. You're not ready for the Peter experience, for that renewal of faith with love, so that faith and love are united in one. And this is a necessary experience. Sell all thou hast. Cast thy net on the right side of the ship. And now bring the fish you have caught to the Christ. Lay everything you think you know at the feet of the Christ and say, now you show me. I know nothing. All the fish I have caught are of no account. I come to you completely open. This is the divinity acceptance within yourself. You cannot accept divinity and still have human concepts. You cannot trust divinity and still have human concepts. And even at this late date, at this point in the transitional consciousness of Peter, he has not reached the pinnacle. It's only a glimpse that mankind will have of itself before it further solidifies by learning the true nature of love. And so the Master must now say to Peter, do you love me? And again, Peter, do you love me? And again, Peter, do you love me? And there's a meaning there. Just as Peter three times had denied the Christ, so now three times is the Christ lift Peter above those previous denials. Now, one thing you won't notice in our text is that the three questions of do you love me are not identical. They seem to be, but they are not in the original. And only by knowing this can you find a fuller meaning in these questions. Now, in the Greek, do you love me the first time is said by a word that means, do you love me not as a mechanical robot or as a human emotion, but do you love me the Christ? Not Jesus. In other words, the question is, do you love Jesus the man, or do you love Christ the Spirit of God? And Peter always says, oh yes, I love you. But Peter isn't aware of the meaning. And so again the Christ says, do you love me? Meaning, do you love Jesus the man, or do you love Christ the Spirit of God? And again Peter asserts his love. And the third time, the Christ now says the word, which is not, do you love the Christ, but do you love as a mechanical man another human being? And Peter doesn't even know the difference and the change that has taken place. He still says, of course I love you. And the Christ is revealing that all Peter really loves at this moment is not the Christ. He was lifted to it, but he can't grasp it still. He still has a sense of loving Peter. But we are being taught beyond that. Do you love me? Means, do you love Christ within yourself more than you love your human self? Peter, do you love Christ within you more than you love Peter the man? And Peter, not understanding, says, but I do love you. The question is phrased to you then, and to me, and to every individual in this world, do you love Christ in you more than you love your human selfhood? And on that you make or break your demonstration and the fulfillment of your very purpose in this world. If we still love our human selfhood more than we love Christ within ourselves, it's quite clear that we're in a state of duality. And still the message is incomplete. For now Peter must turn and say, well, what about him over there? Pointing to John. Even having been blessed by the new experience of finding self, which he couldn't hold on to, having found some degree of Christhood, Peter turns and says to the man called Jesus, what about him over there? What about John? What's he going to do? If I'm to follow you, what about him? What's he going to do? And this is a teaching to us. The Master says, what is it to thee if I wish him to tarry until I come? Just as the Master on the cross could point to John and say to his mother, there is your son, and point to John and say, there is your mother. He reminds us now that love must remain a living factor in your heart. Peter, the will, must now follow the Master, but love must tarry on the earth. And then translated again, you see that Peter, the mind, must go. Love must remain. The soul is all that can redeem you. Peter is ready to now go deeper and deeper, but the soul remains on earth as the way through which the word will enter every human heart. John must tarry on earth, meaning love within you will open your soul. Mind won't do it. You can't get to heaven through Peter. You must get to heaven through John. The mind stays in the sea. The soul comes up and lands on the shore. The great teaching of the Bible finally culminates with the knowledge that only through your willingness to resist the world mind expressing as a sense mind in you, living beyond it in your soul, accepting yourself as invisible being, the invisible living Christ, the Spirit, not in a body, will your soul be open to receive the inner confirmation of that which you accept through faith and through love. This union of love and faith will not waver and will enable you to walk upon the water of truth. the fire of love, which contains the bread and the fish, has been prepared for all of us. It is in the land of reality, behind the veil of the senses now. We are being asked to partake of that heavenly feast. If you hear my voice and you open the door when I knock, I will come and sup with thee. And this is what I bring: the bread and the fish. The new self, the new body, the new life, which is Christ eternal. And your receptivity to all this is made possible only through the awareness that within you is John, the soul. The soul receives the Christ. You cannot do it through instruction. You do it through inspiration. Instruction leads you to inspiration. Inspiration takes you across the sea of world thought. Inspiration brings you truth that can be received in no other way. The whole gospel now takes you to the point where you must know who you are and live in that knowledge. If we had tried to do world work before we came to a knowledge of identity, before we came to a place where we were able to receive living inspirational revelation from the very Christ of our own being, we would be going through some kind of form without substance. You may have noticed in the last 3 or 4 weeks that we have been doing a little world work, enough to maybe give you some evidence of the fact that when you know yourself to be who you truly are, then you are given only truth that works, not truth that is opinion. And then you are in world work. What is the answer that the Master says every time Peter professes his deep love? If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. Do you love Christ? But Christ is you. Do you accept Christ as loving Christ? But if you accept Christ, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And so we must know what we're to do. We must give the evidence that we accept Christ's identity by feeding the lambs. Who are they? There are two meanings. The lambs are just, well, first of all, lambs are innocent. They're distinguished from the sheep, who are a little more mature and they're more advanced, you might say. Innocent in the sense that they do not yet know, but they are on the way with blind faith. And so those who are coming through blind faith are the innocent lambs. And in our world work, we must feed them. We must help them. And then there are those who are more advanced. Their faith is not blind. They are now sheep. They're not innocent lambs. Their faith has been confirmed. And they're more advanced along the path, and we must help them. But that isn't all that was told. And feed my lambs and feed my sheep. The real lambs and the real sheep are the divine thoughts in yourself. Those thoughts within you which are just budding, still undiscerned, but there are the lambs. Those which have taken firmer root in you are the sheep, and by feeding them means you must let them grow. You must accept them. You must listen to them and be obedient, for they are the method through which the divine feeds us. The divine does the feeding. Our accepting of the divine thought within us is feeding the lambs and the sheep. And if you're not listening to living revelation within yourself, you're not feeding the lambs and the sheep. You're doing it by rote. You're only bringing your fish, but you're not finding the coals with the living fire of the living bread and the living fish of spirit. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood again is the same as the fish and the bread. Another symbolism for the same thing. Now then, if you have caught more than words in a book, if the spark is ignited in you, if that fire is a fire within you, a fire of living coals, the bread and fish are now within you on that fire, and you are receiving invisible lambs, invisible sheep, invisible guidance, invisible impulses. You are receiving the constant divine impulse, and you are turned within to it, listening to it, and obeying it. Then you're tending those sheep. Then you're about your Father's business. And then you can find the capacity to do effective world work. Not just an outer charade. Now your next chapter is world work. We have to, in that chapter, which is the last, the realization of oneness, tie it all up together. Today is a new year, the first meeting of a new year. It's a new consciousness. It's the new consciousness that has come onto the shore. And in this new consciousness, we find that within us is the divine fire which we must listen to. And it will show us its way. But we must be there listening. Out of self, in the human sense. If you are listening, it's because your faith is deeper than human faith. And if you're not listening, it's because you're still in that blind human faith which cannot hold still. It has no love. Now if you're listening, you'll find that there's nothing goes on in this world that can persuade you that you are not now in the living kingdom of God. And that you yourself are the living kingdom of God. And that the perfection of this kingdom is all around you, invisible as the invisible fishes, but ever present. That which we cannot see is here. That which we cannot touch is here. That which is called God is here. That which is the power of God is here. That which is the wisdom of God is here. All of it is here. And all of it is available in Christ self. Now then, whatever is happening in the world is a sense activity, whether it's good or bad. Whatever is happening in you is divine activity, and it is always good. It can only be released to replace the outer world experience if you are living in that center of soul called John, listening. Peter had to follow commands, not John. John lay on the bosom, on the breast of the Master, meaning they were connected, they were one. And so he instinctively and automatically followed the Christ. There was no thought taking. And then Peter would follow after John would automatically follow the Christ. We must be in the John consciousness that automatically follows the Master instead of the Peter, which has to wait for a visible command. We must live in that self which automatically is lying on the breast of the Master. Now when you do world work, whether you're living in self or not, will show up in what the results are. That's why this message is so important. It doesn't leave you hanging. If there are no results, you're not in the consciousness. It has a way of showing you where you are. So that's why we want results, because they show us that we're in Christ or not. This is a message with power. Now let's meditate then on the Bible meaning, because we should all be now at a point where we're even higher than the Bible. It is the instruction, but its instruction should lift you to a place beyond itself, to the point of inspiration. Within you is the sacred fire of Christ. You have passed the dawn. You're into the sunrise, which actually becomes a visible event within you, rising out of material sunset, out of materialism, out of the belief in all that is unlike God. In our consciousness, only God exists. This is the rising Christ. This is the mystical Easter. This is the resurrection of Christ in you. All that is not God does not exist. We're true to that sacred fire of identity. And unless you can stand there, when all around you attest to something other than God, you're still in naked human faith. Get out of the form, get out of the belief in form, get out of the worldliness, out of the material sense of life. Seek ye first, last, and always. Nothing at all in the world, for your Father is not in the world. Have the confidence to rest in your Father, the invisible Christ, as your own identity, trusting it, being willing to let anything happen that might, while you maintain your trust. This is loving God supremely. Lo and behold, all these great catastrophes that seem to be striking lose their sting. Death is swallowed up in victory. Either the message is true or it's untrue. And we owe it to ourselves to come to the place where we can say, I follow it, or I do not. I've seen so many catastrophes that turned out to be false alarms when someone catches the rising Christ within themselves. Finally, when the word Amen is spoken, it means, I accept that eternal life is my name. And my eternal life is Christ here and Christ there. The moment you touch the sacred fire of Christ within yourself, you have found the multiplication of every loaf and every fish in this world. The fish increase, they multiply. Grace becomes the law instead of material law. Do you love me, or do you love you? That is the question Christ is always asking within you. Three times the question is asked, and this is the indication that the message is finished. The book is closed. Those who can see beneath the surface of the words are ready to walk out in the deep, ready to bless their fellow men. So we're going to do our world work next week together, and that will be the last class of this series. That'll give you a whole month to move back and forth over what you have come into in consciousness, refining that consciousness unto a workable state, so that when we hit the special seven on the second Sunday of February, we should be able to work on the level of the inner senses instead of the outer. We should be able to experience the walking on water. We should be able to understand how the invisible universe works around us. Next time we'll prescribe some things that should be done during the intervening month. Your work now is to cast your net on the right side of the ship. Stop trying to figure it out with that mind. Rest in faith. Reject the sense testimony until the sacred fire bursts and the living radiance of Christ is your living experience with its living wisdom. Believe it, it happens. Only 200 cubic feet away. They caught 153 fishes when they did this. Add them up, 1, 5, 3, 9. In other words, they had progressed beyond mortality, which is 666. We had to come beyond 666, the symbol of mortality, to 9, which is the symbol of the transformed man. And because John is remaining on the earth as the soul, as the symbol of love, there must be a reason for John remaining to tarry until the Master comes. What is the reason? There must be a remnant on the earth who can receive through that soul. John's tarrying on the earth is a statement that there are still 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal. Those who consider themselves to be among the disciples of Christ are the remnant who will find through the experience of soul that Christ comes to earth in them if we will tarry in John until Christ's realization comes. Let us be grateful that such a teaching exists. Let us not make the mistake of the world in seeing it only from the human eyes. And so with that, if you can join me, we can say Amen. This is our teaching. And to all of you, the best of our spiritual mansions in this coming new year. Thanks again.